For you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Talking movies and more. Alan Adams joining us in studio for Pass the Popcorn. How are you today, Al?
I'm doing pretty well, sir. Yourself?
Good, thank you. How was Thanksgiving and all of that?
It was fun. I think I mentioned this when I was here last week, but we did our first hotel Thanksgiving.
Yeah, down in Portland, right?
Yeah. It was fun. We went down Wednesday night. We stayed Wednesday night and Thursday night, came back on Friday, did dinner at the buffet at the Eastland Hotel, which was fine. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, your homemade food.
Right.
For sure. But it was good. And the reality is, like, I didn't have to cook anything. I didn't have to clean anything. I have to say that there's a lot to be said for that.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
All that aside, I think this might have been a one-off for us, simply because it was, like I said, it was nice, but you miss the sort of coziness, I think, that comes with being, like, in your home when you do something like this. But that being said, like, the whole crew got together. I think there were 13 of us all told. So it was nice. You know, got to catch up with some folks we don't necessarily see as often. So, yeah, it was good. How was yours?
I was good. Very low key. My in-laws came up and they brought the bird, which made our life pretty simple, and had some great food. Watched a lot of football with my father-in-law, which was great. And yeah, it was a nice time, as always.
Yeah, no, it was interesting, you know, doing all those things in a hotel setting.
Mm.
But yeah, it worked out. It worked out great. And then there was a game on Friday, and so I've basically spent the last week not knowing what day it is.
Right. Isn't that great, though?
It's a wonderful form of chaos, for sure.
How was it getting back to work today? I found it was a bit of an adjustment.
I struggled a little, but it was a confluence of circumstances. We've discussed before, but Stella does not do well with the wind, and I had no idea that that was coming, but like it was like full on like legit whistling. Like, to the point where not even Bridgerton would soothe her. And for those who know, like, that's pretty bad. I got boosted yesterday.
Oh, good for you.
And I tend to be a little reactive to these shots. So not to the extent that I have been in the past, but that's definitely contributing to me feeling a little bit run down today. That and not really sleeping a whole lot. But, you know, I dragged myself out of bed and made my way to Orono and got some stuff done today.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to see you here.
I'm glad to be here.
What did you see from movies?
I actually, because of the holiday weekend, I've got three for you this week.
Whoa, nice.
Including one in an actual movie theater.
Whoa. Yeah. Did you take some of the youngsters to the theater?
The whole crew, like everyone except Cynthia and Gordon. We all went to... We went to the theater in Falmouth and saw Wish, the new Disney movie, and also watched on the Peacock. Watched the new Melissa McCarthy movie Genie, on Amazon Prime Video. Watched the new Barry Sanders documentary, Bye Bye Barry.
Oh wow!
So we got after it a little bit.
Excellent. Well, where should we begin?
We'll start with the Disney movie.
Great.
Yeah, so that was Disney's big Thanksgiving release. It's a film called Wish, it is not a Pixar. It is produced by Walt Disney Animation. Sometimes those lines get blurred a little bit. The director is Chris Buck, Vera Seathorn, screenplay by Jennifer Lee, Allison Moore, and it's basically this pretty straightforward story about a young woman who lives in a kingdom founded by a magical king who has the ability to store and then eventually grant wishes. He is a benevolent autocrat, we'll call it that, voiced by Chris Pine. He basically, when a resident of this kingdom turns 18, they basically hand over their deepest wish to him for safekeeping, and then periodically they will have wish granting ceremonies where someone will be selected to have their wish granted. It all sounds very lovely, but then we have a young girl who is seeking to be his apprentice. Asha is desperate to get her to get into this position, not just because she loves the idea of being part of it, but she also has an elderly grandfather whose wish she would very much like to contribute to granting, if at all possible. The interview goes sideways, as these things sometimes do, and we start to get a sense that maybe King Magnifico is not so Magnifico.
Oh, boy.
And our hero, our young heroine, takes to the woods, flees in shame at her failure, and takes it upon herself. And she looks up into the sky, much like she used to do with her late father, and she wishes upon a star. And wouldn't you know it, Rich, the star is like, all right, and comes down and starts, and now the star is like hanging out with her and and doing star stuff. With magic and whatnot.
Whoa.
And has its own sort of wish-granting ability, which, of course, leads to standard Disney shenanigans, including a lot of talking animals, like a lot, including a baby goat that inexplicably has the voice of Alan Tudyk, which is which is delightful.
Perfect. Hello. Yep.
We watch as our hero and her young friends, all of whom work in the castle, look to sort of, well, to help the king learn the error of his ways. But as it turns out, our king, he's got a lot of deep-seated issues, and he's pretty angry that there's another wish-granting entity in the picture and is willing to do anything.
Oh.
Anything.
Oh.
To make that star's power his own.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. It's your standard, girl power overcome kind of thing, which is great. It's a very sweet movie, very sentimental movie. It's interesting because this is sort of the film that is intended to mark like the 100th. And so there are a lot of Disney Easter eggs, but it's a little thin. For this kind of like sort of celebratory kind of milestone, I thought. Not that it's bad. Like the voice talent was very good.
How's
like,
the animation?
It's good. It's interesting because I feel like there's a sort of Disney house style that has sort of cropped up in the last, particularly in the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, and it very much falls into that sort of category. You know, like the. You know, everybody kind of looks the same, the eye, like big eyes and all that.
Yep.
But still like engaging and some really funny sight gags. There's a bit with a bunch of chickens that I'm not going to spoil, but it is delightful. And here's what I'll say about it. I had a good time. Got a little misty at the end. Always do. Mm-hmm. Disney knows how to push my buttons.
Oh yeah.
The younger kids that I attended with. Absolutely loved it. Had a great time. The eldest girl, she's 13. So she's starting to develop some ideas. We were talking afterwards. She's like, you know, I think maybe the king kind of had a point. And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I look forward to the conversations we're going to be having nice. Over the next few years. But yeah, it was, you know, it engaged like, you know, we have a, you know, from a 13-year-old down to a, like, I think 7 is the youngest. You know, they all enjoyed it. Like we, as the adults, we had a good time. And like, honestly, like that's kind of tough to find these days.
Right.
Like sort of that sort of cross-generational appeal. So yeah, Wish. It's not... It's not Disney's best, but they've done a lot worse.
All right. We're talking movies with Alan Adams here. I did not know about this Barry Sanders documentary. Tell me a little bit about Bye Bye Barry.
You know, I didn't really know about it either. Like, it was one of those things where I just happened to be scrolling through the various streamers. And we have a Fire TV. And so, like, Prime stuff gets, priority of place when you start scrolling. And so I'm going through, and it's like, and I see this Bye Bye Barry. I'm like, what? What the heck is this? And I look, and it's it is a documentary about Barry Sanders, ostensibly to sort of help people sort of understand better why he walked away when he walked away. I say ostensibly because no real answers are given.
No,
in this movie. Yeah, like we don't. It's all sort of like pretty surface level, like stuff you kind of already figured. Mm. That being said, man, I tell you what, it's remarkable to watch the archival footage of him playing football, man. Yeah. Like it's like he's from the future. Like that's what it feels like. Like he's playing a different game than the other people on that field. And so you're just watching this guy, and it was the truth from, like, they have footage from him, like, in Pee Wee football, in high school, his time at OSU when he won the Heisman Trophy, and his, you know, in his 10-year stretch in Detroit. Every single level that he went to, he was still, like, you know, half again as fast, half again as strong.
Stop on a dime, reverse direction.
Watching him, like, cut and, like, and spin, you're just like, how is he doing this?
I don't remember. Maybe it was, as a little kid, some memories of seeing Gale Sayers, but very few guys that I can remember where at least once a game you'd think, well, they're going to drop him for a loss, and then there he goes, 40, 50 yards.
Well, it's just you would see, like, just this pile of defensive players just, like, surround him, and you're like, oh, okay. And then just out of nowhere, he just shoots through it, and then he runs for another 45 yards.
Yeah.
It was astonishing. But, yeah, it's basically his story, you know, and it's told through, we get a bunch of talking heads. A lot of archival footage of his father. I didn't really, complicated relationship with his dad. Loving, but complicated, you know, and it's like his dad was someone, you know, Barry Sanders famously sort of eschewed the spotlight, was not that guy.
Yeah.
His dad very much was. And so there's a lot of, like, interview footage with his dad and stuff. And the thing about it was his dad, diehard Oklahoma fan. And so his son going to Oklahoma State was a point of contention. To the point, the OSU coach at the time, I forget his name, was in the documentary, and he talked about his visit to Barry Sanders' house, and Barry's dad William comes out of the bedroom, looks at the coach, and says, "He's making a mistake."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But OU didn't recruit him. Like, he was very lightly recruited, which is crazy to me. Like, they mentioned. Was like Oklahoma State, obviously, and Tulsa, and I think one other school, and that was it.
Wow,
it's so wild to think
about. Well, I'm trying to. How big was he?
He's a little guy.
Yeah,
you know, like he's I want to say like 5'8", 5'9", like not a huge, you know, the sort of impressive specimen. But yeah, you know, William Sanders would always say that his son made a mistake going to OSU, and that Jim Brown was the greatest running back of all time.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
and you know who was second? William Sanders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, that kind of energy, sort of a proto, you know, Lamar Ball kind of thing. But there's also all this wonderful sort of a lot of conversation with sort of like famous fans. The big ones are Eminem features prominently.
Well,
he's a Detroit guy, and he's apparently a pretty hardcore Lions fan, which was really interesting. And friend of downtown Jeff Daniels.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
You could tell it was so funny to watch these guys talking about, first when they're talking about, like, the experience of, like, watching Barry Sanders, like even now, like, so many years later, like, they light up. They're just like, oh, it was so incredible. And the genuine sadness that they still feel that he left.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there was, and again, they barely even get into the leaving until the last, you know, 20 minutes of the documentary.
And what was he, 32?
31.
Wow.
Yep. He was 10 years in the league, and he was just like the day before training camp, he's like, actually, I'm going to get on a plane to London.
Mm.
Flew to London and famously faxed his resignation to the Lions, which, as you might imagine, you know, football fans generally being rational folks.
Oh, yes.
Really took it well. But, you know, it seems like as the years have gone by, those you know, a lot of water under the bridge. And so a lot of those relationships have been repaired. But yeah, it was really interesting just to hear him talk. Like, I'd never really heard him talk.
Didn't say much.
You know what I mean? And so to just get a sense of this guy, this I mean, incredibly humble dude. And that was the thing. That was the refrain that kept coming back. Like, everyone talked about his humility and just talked about how genuinely good a person he seemed to be, you know, and especially, you know, nowadays when it seems like every other week you're hearing about some sort of horrible thing that's being done by a star athlete, to hear about someone that talented, that immensely gifted, still being grounded in that way was just, it was really fascinating. So, yeah, and then, you know, and like a lot of stuff from Dan Patrick features pretty prominently. Jamil Hill, who actually worked in Detroit before becoming a more national figure. And just like all these people like in the media talking about, you know, how nice a guy he was and how kind of how terrible a quote he was. Because again, well, because again, like he just didn't like he didn't care about any of the, right. the accolades. You know, the joke was he didn't want to win the Heisman. You know, the joke was, well, and like his first year, like he took himself out of the game with like, I think it was, they said it was 9 yards away from winning the rushing title. He just took him out. He took himself out. Like they were winning and he was like, yeah, like let's get some other folks some run. So it was pretty compelling. It was interesting because again, I didn't have a lot of firsthand knowledge of him. So, the fact that it was kind of surface level wasn't a big deal to me because I was still learning stuff. I think if you're a hardcore like Lions fan, you're probably not going to, you're not going to get anything you didn't already know from this. But, you know, it's, and it's very, you know, obviously very laudatory of its subject. And so, but when you can look past that, it's still very well made, and really engaging.
Nice. Bye-bye, Baron. That's on Prime, you said.
That is on Amazon Prime.
All right. And finally, wrapping up our trio of films this week, tell us about Genie.
Well, Rich, Genie is a movie.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. So it's directed by Sam Boyd, written by Richard Curtis of Love Actually fame. But here's the thing. It's actually an adaptation of his own TV film from like 30 years ago. It's a film called Bernard and the Genie, and so we've apparently brought it back to put on the to put on Peacock because I guess Melissa McCarthy had, you know, had a couple of weeks to spare. The basic gist is, look, I can you already know what this movie's about.
Oh yeah.
So you've got dude Bernard. Workaholic, works for a very demanding boss as an art appraiser. His boss, Mr. Flaxman, played by the delightful Alan Cumming.
Oh, nice.
Well, he works so much that you know, his relationship with his wife Julie and his daughter Eve is starting to suffer a little bit, and so he's got one last chance. It's her birthday. It's his daughter's birthday. There's an ice skating date. They're going to go. And then, wouldn't you know it, Mr. Flaxman shows up and is like, you got to show this guy all the stuff. And so he shows the guy all the stuff, rushes home. He's late. Everybody's mad at him. The present that he got fell off the back of his scooter as he was driving home.
That happens.
So he's frantically trying to find something to give her. And he finds this old jewelry box that's in his house. He gives it to her, and she's like, I don't even want it. And yeah, and then they're like, you know what? We're gonna go stay at my mom's. So the wife and the kid go stay at the mom's. He stays home. He's looking at this jewelry box. He's like, oh man, it's so dirty. Gives it a polish. And then we have Flora the Genie, played by Melissa McCarthy.
Wow.
And and that's when we discover.
Does it pick up from there?
we've pretty much peaked. One of the things we do learn is that turns out that three wishes business, that's all mumbo jumbo.
You can really?
You can have as many wishes as you want. And so he starts wishing for some stuff, but there are certain things, like he can't just make his wife and kid come back. Like, he has to earn that.
Gotta work for that.
Because otherwise this would be a very short movie. And then we basically spend a lot of time having a bunch of buddy comedy, you know, fish out of water hijinks as Flora, who hasn't been out of the box in approximately 2,000 years. We know this because there's a conversation about Christmas where she's like, oh, really? That guy? So,
oh, dear.
Yeah, you got to get a little bit of that in there.
Okay.
Well, and then, you know, Bernard eventually learns the error of his ways and tries to, you know, and figures out a way to eventually make things right with his family.
Thank goodness. Well, thank you, Flora.
Well, of course. You know, Flora the genie really did save the day in so many ways, even as she, you know, is confused and fascinated by our modern world.
Wow.
It's short, I'll tell you that.
Did she need the money that badly?
It's one of those things.
Because usually, if she does this, it's at least she gets her husband involved.
Yeah, there's
in
no
writing.
Yeah, there was no Ben Falcone. Yeah. Like nothing. Wow. Like, and it's just one of those things where it almost feels like she was working on something else, and like there was a gap in her schedule, and they're like, "Well, you're already in London. Like, you got 2 weeks to make this movie
while you're here."
Yeah. look, it's fine. Like, it's not actively terrible.
There's a blurb,
right? But it's just one of those movies where you watch the thing, like you're watching a couple of chuckles here and there, you know, like sweet sentiment. You get to the end and you're like what are we even doing? Like there has to be better ways to spend an hour and a half. But sometimes there aren't better ways to spend an hour and a half. And when you're in that place, Genie is the movie for you.
There you go. A ringing endorsement from Alan Adams here on Pass the Popcorn. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.
Have yourself a good week.
You as well.
See you next Monday. It's 5:39 here on Downtown. We'll